PIT Files, the Ultimate Steelers Podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
It is time for our big interview. Let's talk about the Steelers. And to do that, we bring in from NFLSpinZone.com. You find him on Twitter at Dan_Thomas28. It is Dan Thomas. Dan, let's start here. As you've seen so far in the preseason, give me a letter grade for the offense and a letter grade for the defense.
So far with the offense, I give it, you know, an incomplete just because you haven't seen the starting offense take the field. Ben Roethlisberger hasn't played. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams, they haven't really taken the field. If you watch tonight against the Saints, all those guys should be starting. So it'll be very interesting to see how they play, how Sammy Coates responds after two poor games in the preseason. That's the grade I'll give for the offense. For the defense, I think they've been playing pretty well. The front seven, you really don't have to worry about. Stephon Tuitt, Cameron Hayward, they're going to hold it down for that front seven. They've been top five, top six rushing defense for the last 2 years. That looks to continue in 2016. The secondary, some young, experienced guys back there. But the front seven should do enough to get them going and hopefully make a Super Bowl run.
Dan, when you look at this team, we'll talk about some individual play, but in terms of the past, you know, 30 to 60 days, you've had the dealing with the Al Jazeera report with James Harrison. You've had the waiting to see what was going to happen overall with Le'Veon Bell's suspension. Was it going to stay at four games? Was it going to get reduced? Have you noticed any big-time distraction with this team in terms of their play, or have they been able to kind of compartmentalize that and put it away?
You know, this team has a lot of veterans and a lot of veteran leadership. Mike Tomlin, you know, he's, you know, Super Bowl head coach. I really don't think it's a huge distraction. I just personally am, I'm just kind of over it, just like a lot of NFL fans. I really don't think James Harrison is going to serve or see any type of suspension. At the end of the day, you know, he keeps passing a drug test. It's just a lot of he said, she said type deal. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell, that situation, it's a little concerning long-term, especially because he's going to be a free agent after the season. But as far as this season goes, especially when you have D'Angelo Williams backing him up, it doesn't look like it's going to be a huge deal. I think everyone is just ready to get going, stop talking about suspensions and possible suspensions.
Let's talk about some specific guys. You brought up Sammy Coates a little bit earlier and the fact that he hasn't looked fantastic in the preseason games, but, you know, he's a fantasy football darling. We know that. Everybody wants to be able to take him as their, quote, sleeper. But obviously there's some expectations on him, and the Steelers need him to be able to be a contributor. We all know what Antonio Brown can do, but you got to have additional receiving options, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you really do. When you look at everything that's happened since the Steelers season ended last year, Martavius Bryant suspended for the year, Keith Miller retires, Keith Miller's replacement, Ladarius Green, has these headaches that's preventing him from taking the field. And not only is he questionable for week one, but as of right now, he might be questionable for the entire season. Yeah, and Sammy Coates has not lived up to the, I guess you could say, unjustified expectations. So far, I mean, he just hasn't looked good during the preseason. People want to, you know, label him as a sleeper and the next big thing, but, I mean, you have to remember, last year he only had one reception during the regular season. They'll be interested to see how he responds and how he plays with the ones this tonight against the Saints.
Is there a bit of a panic mode amongst Steelers fans when they realize that Ben Roethlisberger's backup is Landry Jones?
Yes, I think there's a slight panic just because, yeah, you know, he hasn't looked good this preseason. The last time you saw him was against the Bengals in the playoffs. And personally, I attributed that poor performance to, you know, horrible weather conditions because nobody was really throwing the ball well that game. It was just an ugly, sloppy game. but then you see him throw four interceptions against the Eagles, and it does raise major concern. But at the end of the day, if Ben Roethlisberger misses a lot of time and is forced into an injury that forces him to miss, you know, the rest of the season at some point, I mean, you could pretty much stick a fork in the Steelers. But then again, that could be said for most NFL teams that have a franchise quarterback. You don't expect the Green Bay Packers to go far without Rodgers. You don't expect the Patriots to go far without Brady. So it's just, you know, nature of the beast. As long as Roethlisberger stays healthy, they're in Super Bowl contention.
Dan Thomas is our guest. You find him on Twitter at Dan_Thomas28, NFLSpinZone.com. Dan, who's a name that people haven't heard on this team that by the time we get to weeks 3, 4, 5 of the season, people are going to know?
You know, I'm going to have to go with third-round pick rookie Javon Hargrave. He's just such a disruptive defensive lineman. And you have to think, Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt have played so well that they're going to command double teams. If this guy gets one-on-one with any offensive lineman, he's going to wreak havoc in that backfield. He's nimble. He's fast. You know, he's powerful. You know, they drafted him with the idea of being an interior pass rusher, and that's exactly what he's going to be. He's a guy to really watch throughout the season.
As you look at the defense, we know that historically it's what the Steelers have been known for. You know, when you look at this defense right now, what are still the holes, Dan?
As I mentioned earlier, it's got to be the secondary.
Right.
You know, they finished, in the bottom, sixth in the league over the last 2 years in passing yards per game. But if you look at the way the secondary played it towards the last month of the season, they played well. And they have some veterans back there with William Gay, Mike Mitchell. But their depth is a real concern because, Artie Burns, their first-round pick, hasn't taken the field yet. He's been nagged by some injuries. He probably will not play tonight in their dress rehearsal game. Senquez Golston, their second-round pick last year, missed the entire season with a shoulder injury. And now he's got a foot injury that's going to keep him out till November. So their depth is an issue because they're losing guys, and it's not even week one of the regular season.
What's the expectation? I mean, I know playoffs are always the expectation. A division win is always the expectation. But what do you look at, not only combining the fan but in covering the team, what's the realistic record at the end of the regular season for this Steelers team?
The Steelers have never had a losing record under Ben Roethlisberger. So I think that's the way you got to look at it. I mean, they're going to be in contention to win that division. I think 11-5 and 12-4 is realistic because you look at their schedule. They play the AFC East. They play the NFC East. Not exactly the strongest division. Either way, if they come in, I mean, I think it's a two-team race between the Steelers and the Bengals. Either way, I see both teams making the playoffs. And at the end of the day, it's really Super Bowl bust for this team. They have Super Bowl expectations, and they're not there to win the division. They're not there to win 10 games. They're going into the season trying to win a Super Bowl.
And, Dan, last one for you. As you finish off the preseason, you mentioned as of when we're recording this, they play tonight. They've got, obviously, the fourth preseason game, which isn't as important. But over the course of these next 2 weeks, what's the one thing you're still looking for out of this team?
I'm just hoping to see the first team offense click. Sammy Coates, as I mentioned over and over again, just like everyone has, he's been disappointing. But maybe with Ben Roethlisberger, he's going to play better with the first team offense. With Antonio Brown on the field, Le'Veon Bell, he's going to get more wide open opportunities. He's a real guy that you're kind of leaning on because, as you mentioned earlier, when Martavis Bryant got suspended, you needed somebody else to step up. Sammy Coates was labeled that guy. So we're hoping to see a little bit more progression from him in week three.
Dan Thomas, NFLSpinZone.com, on Twitter at Dan_Thomas28. Dan, really appreciate the insight on the Steelers. We'll talk to you more as we get throughout the season. Thanks.
Thank you.
The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick. It is the coach, Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short. But it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback. Let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, what the old adage is, if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits in the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if, that's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, that you say that, people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how He feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter position.
the coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer. So he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999 to basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson. And he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Grady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Oh, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, it's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte. And how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand. And if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And when we talk about this, and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us. And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with DJ Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year, you go, how can a first year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better, and obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think, no doubt, Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a dropback passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC who, for the time being, shall remain nameless because he's an underclass.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the Overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week. And it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.